A newly expanded threat is prompting a WRAL weather alert day. I'm tracking wind speeds, flooding, and who could see a tornado. See the five-hour window we're most at risk.
Then a gas leak shuts down a busy Raleigh road for hours. How long it could add delays to your evening commute.
It's been 7 months since a Fayetteville City councilwoman lost her daughter in an accidental shooting.
God blessed us with her 15 years. Her death is not going vain.
It's an emotional interview you'll only see on WREL.
Let's get started with a look at the radar right now. This is the system that will be bringing some severe weather our way. That's why we have issued a WRAL severe weather alert day for tomorrow. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dan Haggerty.
And I'm Deborah Morgan. The risk for storms stretches across our entire area after the threat was expanded this afternoon. Meteorologist Kat Campbell is now in the WRAL Severe Weather Center timing out this threat for where you live, Kat.
And the general time frame is 4 to 9 p.m. That's when we're the most concerned about these severe storms moving through the area. A level 2 threat now in parts of our area, damaging wind gusts, hail, and perhaps an isolated tornado. Looking at tomorrow morning, we could wake up to a few showers in the area, not expecting any severe weather for the morning commute, but you may be slowed down a bit by some of the rain. Partial clearing into the afternoon. That allows us to warm up and really energizes the atmosphere ahead of these thunderstorms that are likely to move in tomorrow evening between 4 and 9 o'clock. And you can see this line of thunderstorms approaching from the west. And as it approaches, it's still pretty intact in the western part of our viewing area. And that's why the threat a little higher there. And then we'll continue to see this line of storms push to the east, likely weakening a little bit as it does so. After 9 o'clock, we could still see some rain, perhaps thunderstorms, but less likely that those would be severe. It's a level 2 threat for Durham, Chapel Hill, North and West, Raleigh, and Fayetteville under the level 1 threat. I'll let you know where in this severe weather risk area we have a threat of an isolated tornado coming up.
All right, Kat, see you in a few minutes. Thank you. And as we track this threat for tomorrow, make sure you have the WRAL weather app. You can access radar and get alerts straight to your phone.
A section of a major Raleigh road closed right now as crews make some repairs after a gas leak. Sky 5 over this area, Six Forks Road today. You can see that's a worker down in the hole in the ground that they had to dig there. WRL's Eric Miller has been on this scene for quite a while, since this afternoon, Eric. And from where I'm standing, it looks like there's a lot of work to be done before this road can open back up.
Right, Dan, but there is some light at the end of the tunnel from the traffic situation. We're told 3 out of 4 lanes here on Six Forks Road may reopen in the next couple of minutes. Still, crews have a lot of work ahead of them. I want to send you back to that Sky 5 video now. This all started right around 2:30. That's when a contractor trying to install fiber optic cable hit a gas line, causing a pretty significant leak. There were no evacuations in the area, but it did force a closure of Six Forks Road from Westbrook all the way up a half mile to Newton Road, where I'm standing right now. Again, when all of that work is going to wrap up, that is still up in the air. There is that big hole in the road that crews are going to have to fill even after they get this gas leak fixed, but still some hope, some light at the end of the tunnel as we may get 3 out of 4 lanes reopened here in the next few minutes. Obviously, we'll be keeping an eye on it, though, and bringing updates as soon as we get them. Dan?
Making some progress out there. Eric Miller live in Raleigh. Thanks, Eric.
You are taking a live look at the North Carolina Legislative Building tonight, and that's where Senate Republican leaders rolled out their $30 billion spending plan this afternoon. And teachers and state employees may not think much of it, but that's thanks to relatively small raises. WRL's Capitol Bureau Chief Laura Leslie is live at the legislative building where the GOP leaders unveiled their plan. Laura?
Deborah, we've already seen spending plans from Democratic Governor Roy Cooper and House Republican leaders. This is the third step in the budget process. After they pass this plan later this week, they'll have to work out the differences with the House and with Cooper, and they're pretty substantial differences.
Senate Leader Phil Berger said the Senate's $30 billion budget proposal puts billions of dollars into inflation reserves and savings accounts.
As we continue down the road of what economists have dubbed a slow session, the Senate budget proceeds with caution.
The Senate's raises for teachers and state employees would be smaller than the House and governor have proposed. In his budget, Governor Roy Cooper had proposed an 18% raise for teachers over the next 2 years. The House proposed 10.2% over that time. The Senate is proposing a smaller raise of just 4.5% for most teachers, although starting teachers would get 11%. For state employees, Governor Cooper had proposed 8% raises over 2 years. The House budget had 7.5%, and the Senate's budget calls for just 5%. Berger said the budget does include some money for agencies to use to increase pay for jobs they can't fill. But he said he didn't want a higher wage increase across the board that could put a strain on future budgets.
At the same time, the budget benefits North Carolinians by further cutting the personal income tax rate to help ease inflationary pains that are being felt by taxpayers.
Berger said more than $1.2 billion will go to speed up tax cuts that were already in progress, lowering the income tax rate by 0.5% by 2025. The Senate budget would also put more than $1 billion into a nonprofit called NC Innovation. It's a public-private partnership working on bringing scientific discoveries from the state university system into the commercial market. Senate Budget Chief Brent Jackson said the investment will target creating jobs in rural areas.
This will help generate homegrown companies that will stay in North Carolina and hire North Carolinians.
Now, I reached out for reaction today to the state teachers group, NCAE, and the state employees group, SEANC, S-E-A-N-C. SEANC sent a statement to me in part saying, state employees deserve better than what the Senate budget proposes. In fact, all North Carolinians deserve better. I'm sure others will have plenty to say also tomorrow.
Back Absolutely. To you, Laura Leslie, live in Raleigh. Thank you, Laura. And by the way, we learned this afternoon the state Senate is expected to vote tomorrow on overriding Governor Cooper's veto of the 12-week abortion bill.
Officials say a mother ran over her 5-year-old child near Spring Lake. Harnett County deputies say it happened this morning in the Shady Grove Mobile Home Park. We know the child was taken to a fire station nearby and then airlifted to a hospital in Wake County. No word on how the child is doing or if charges will be filed. Tonight, for the first time, we're hearing from the mother of 15-year-old Coriona Young, who was killed 6 months ago. Her mother is Fayetteville City Councilwoman Courtney Banks McLaughlin. She says her daughter was accidentally shot. She sat down with WRAL Fayetteville reporter Gilbert Bays and reflected on her daughter's life and tragic death in an interview you'll only see here on WRAL.
Fayetteville City Councilwoman Courtney Banks McLaughlin lost her daughter in October, and since then she's told me at some point she wanted to talk about what happened so that something like this doesn't happen to any other parent.
I'm taking every second at a time.
Yesterday was the first Mother's Day for Courtney Banks McLaughlin without her daughter, Coriona Young. She says the 15-year-old was accidentally shot October 21st.
Senseless kids being reckless. Playing with guns.
Banks McLaughlin says her daughter's death has left a hole in a very tight-knit family.
So it's very difficult for them because they're still processing it. They miss their sister. As a mother, it's different. Home is quiet. I'm not used to the quietness. I'm used to all of my children being in a home together.
Especially Coriona. Her mother says she had a wonderful spirit and a personality that was bigger than life. She was in 10th grade, an Air Force junior ROTC cadet at 71st High School who wanted to become a pilot. Governor Roy Cooper recently appointed Banks McLaughlin to the state's crime commission. She says her daughter's death will bring passion to her service on that panel.
I see your tears. Those tears have nothing to do with the crime commission. What's going through your head right now?
Her death is not going to go in vain. For me, I look at it like God is using her for a purpose, for a reason.
Now, because the young man involved is a juvenile, no information is being released about him, but the case is being processed through the juvenile court system. In Fayetteville, Gilbert Bays, WRAL News.
We do know that the teenager accused in this shooting has been charged with involuntary manslaughter and possession of a handgun by a minor.
Dozens of Durham residents and elected officials came out to CCB Plaza in downtown to honor victims of violence. It's all part of a day of remembrance in Durham that included a moment of silence this morning. City, county, and school board elected leaders read a proclamation about youth safety and wellness. Some students participated in the event, reading poems about when their schools have been on lockdown. Durham Public School Board member Javania Lewis organized the event.
These are all of my children. These are all of your children. Listen, we have to acknowledge that our future is tied to the future of our youth.
Some elected leaders were emotional, telling the crowd about how violence has touched their own families. Others called for stricter gun laws and safer storage of weapons.
A new study shows veterans who served at Camp Lejeune have a greater risk of developing Parkinson's disease. JAMA Neurology's study compared veterans stationed at Camp Lejeune from 1975 to 1985 to other veterans stationed at a Marine Corps base where the water was not contaminated. The research found the risk for Parkinson's was 70% higher among Camp Lejeune veterans who were exposed. WRAL Investigates has covered the impact of the toxic water contamination at Camp Lejeune for years. You can find that coverage on WRAL.com.
Still ahead, a North Carolina officer caught on video passing a stopped school bus as a student began stepping off of it. He is now in trouble for his actions. What his department is saying coming up.
So if you've ever felt a car subway rush past you, that's what it feels like to get passed when a car passes you with less than 3 feet.
WRAL's data trackers is taking a closer look at the safest and most dangerous places to ride a bike across Raleigh. So far this year, Raleigh has had 18 crashes involving bicycles. That's about one every week. WRAL's investigative data journalist Ali Ingersoll is looking at the safest places to cycle around the area.
A Sunday spin around 5 points leads to a narrow miss for seasoned cyclist Brady Thomas. Watch this as car pulls out right in front of him, seemingly not seeing him at all.
It can be scary.
Most crashes in the city happen when bikes and cars are sharing space, and there isn't any extra room from the roadway, according to the crash data. While Thomas had a close call caught on camera the other day, the part of the city where he was riding is one of the safest in Raleigh, according to data. Since 2019, six cyclists have been involved in crashes in the Five Point neighborhood. Only Glenwood, South, and South Central Raleigh have had fewer. But areas like North, Hillsborough, Wade, and Southwest have had more than four times as many crashes in the same time span. And those are the places where the city is focusing on bolstering cycling infrastructure, adding more areas with separated bike lanes, like along Morgan Street and Lineberry Drive, something Thomas appreciates.
The small physical barriers provides an extra layer of security and a sense of security.
Those efforts mean a lot to Thomas as he rides about 5 days a week, often opting to get around on two wheels rather than four.
Raleigh has more cycling and commuting infrastructure than a lot of cities, although there's certainly a lot of room for improvement.
The city's bike plan includes expanding the on-road facilities to 70 miles. And Thomas feels investing in that more will help cyclists of all ages and abilities feel more comfortable on the road and get home safe. In Raleigh, Ali Ingersoll, WRAL News.
And I see this video here, a North Carolina police officer caught on camera passing this school bus here just as a student was stepping off. See the video there. He has been cited now, placed on administrative leave. Officers are saying that the trooper cited, Sergeant Matthew Willett, is in connection with this incident, which appears to happen near Concord, which is outside of Charlotte. Police say they are now conducting an internal investigation. The department said, quote, the actions of this driver are something no one should do, especially not an officer who is held to a higher standard.
Well, starting today, you're likely to see fewer flight options when booking your next trip. An air traffic controller shortage prompted airlines like United to reduce its number of routes from airports like New York. The change could cause a ripple effect at other airports, including RDU. Delta and American have plans to drop flights for the summer travel season. Well, if you're traveling on Memorial Day weekend, prepare for record-breaking crowds. This could be the busiest Memorial Day weekend at airports since 2005, according to AAA. The organization expects an increase of air travel of 11% over last year. Highways will be crowded too, with AAA predicting 37 million people road tripping, a 6% increase. And it could be a sign of a sizzling summer travel season. AAA says this summer could be record-setting, especially for airports.
People have been coming to visit Wake County, and the tourism economy is starting this year off strong because of it. Today, Visit Raleigh released a Wake County tourism industry report for the first quarter of the year, and it shows hotel occupancy is one of several indicators which increased. It outpaced the state and national average, rising about 36% over 2022. The president and CEO of Visit Raleigh says events like the NHL Stadium Series brought in a lot of people and a lot of money to start off the year. Now, our weather's about to get really nice, though we do have some rain on the way. Meteorologist Kat Campbell here to tell us what to expect, Kat.
Just wait until after tomorrow. Then we've got some really nice days ahead. High temperatures in the 70s, the nice spring-like weather holding on a bit longer. In Warrenton tonight, it's mostly cloudy outside. They've seen a little bit of rain in Warrenton. You can see the road's still a little damp, but it's just been sprinkles in our northern counties this evening. And as expected, they never really made it south and past the triangle. That's our good news, but we still have to get past this severe weather threat tomorrow that stems from this system. And we're going to be watching this closely. I mentioned at the top of the newscast that primary threats would be damaging wind gusts and hail. But this afternoon, we were added to a low risk of an isolated tornado. And this doesn't include the triangle. It's north of the triangle, closer to the Virginia border. This is where we're going to see a front that's situated west to east in our area. And along the front, you have a change in wind direction. And that's why any storms that form along that front could see some rotation. And we'll watch that potential for you very closely. Future casts tomorrow morning showing the potential for some showers early on, and then we're going to be watching this line of storms approach from the west. This would move in later in the evening between about 4 p.m. and 9 p.m., but we may not be done with the rain after that. The severe weather threat likely to die down after about 9 o'clock, but we still have the potential for some showers to move through along this front tomorrow night into early Wednesday morning. After that, we'll slowly see the clouds clear out on Wednesday and improving weather expected. High temperatures back in the 70s with lows in the 50s behind that front. Tomorrow, as the kids head to school in the morning, 8 a.m., 65, there is a small chance for rain in the morning. This would be light rain sprinkles, not expecting any severe weather. Late morning into the early afternoon, just a 20% chance for rain. So if you want to do recess outside with the kids, I think that you'll be fine to do so. Temperatures in the 70s and 80s. But once we get closer to 4 o'clock, that's when some of these thunderstorms start to push into the area. And we could see some isolated, more scattered activity ahead of the line. In Durham, you can see out at the DBAP, they are preparing for the rain tomorrow. The Bulls are going to be back in town this week, and they should have some gorgeous baseball weather as we get into Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. All 3 days look nice and dry, comfortable. Out here at the WRAL Gardens, we've got some folks out taking pictures. The century plant growing taller by the day. Be sure to come check it out. And at our WRAL Fayetteville newsroom, we're still at nearly 80 degrees right now. We've seen a big difference in temperatures in the area today. All of that having to do with the cloud cover. Tomorrow will be the warmest day of the next 7, 84 degrees, but those warm temperatures helping to fuel thunderstorms. It's a WRAL weather alert day tomorrow due to the potential for severe storms. Once we get past tomorrow, things really quiet down for the second half of the work week. We even get down to 54 by Friday morning, so some really nice weather ahead. Over the weekend, we have a chance for some rain with high temperatures back near 80. But this does have to do with a potential coastal low. And if that shifts a little bit farther to the east, then we may be able to take out rain chances. So just don't lock in any weekend plans just yet.
All right. Well, we'll check in with you first. Mm-hmm. How about that? Thanks, Kat.
Still ahead, the Canes don't have a schedule for the next round of the playoffs yet. Yeah. In the meantime, they are on the ice getting ready. A look at their practice today and who hit the ice again coming up. Kat was just talking about this. This is the WRAL Azalea Garden and the Century Plant, and it is blooming. See those little flowers on it? Now, we didn't see those last week.
You're right. It's interesting. Yeah. It changes day to day. If you've had a chance to come down and see it, or if you haven't, you probably should. The stalk grows pretty rapidly, can reach impressive heights, 20 feet or so. Come down. Check it out as it blooms. It's a rare thing to see, or just watch it from home, because we do have a live stream at WRAL.com. Better in person, I will admit. A Las Vegas-style casino just a short drive from the Triangle opened this morning.
Caesars Virginia is just across the state line in Danville, about an hour and a half drive from Raleigh. The flashing lights and screens of more than 700 slot machines are now open and in full swing. You see all the people lined up to get inside. The casino opens inside a massive tent on the site of a future $650 million resort and is expected to draw a lot of visitors from our area. The Carolina Theater announced a new inclusive film series designed for people of all ages on the autism spectrum.
This is such a great idea. The theater is holding free monthly sensory-friendly film screenings starting in July. And during the shows, the lights will be dim, not dark, just dim, and the volume will be lowered. There will be a reduced capacity as well, not as many people inside. That way people can spread out a little bit and you can dance or walk around or sing or whatever makes you feel comfortable. Inside Out, Coco, Spirited Away, those are just a couple of the films playing this season, and you can reserve tickets on the Carolina Theater's website. Mm. For the first time in 13 years, Antiques Roadshow is returning to Raleigh this week.
You are looking at video from the last time the show stopped in the Triangle in 2010. The hit PBS series production tour will stop at the North Carolina Museum of Art tomorrow. Admission to the roadshow is free. However, tickets are required. This will air in 2024, marking the show's 28th season. The last time the show came by, a woman found this jade piece, and it was worth like more than $1 million.
No.
And yeah,
I love watching
some really cool finds. Yeah.
How fun.
Well, the Canes are preparing for the Eastern Conference Finals as we wait to learn when the next round of games will get started.
Let's go, Canes, man. What a run. We should have a schedule tomorrow with the Western Conference Series wrapping up tonight. The team hit the ice today for practice. They are ready to go. All their players have been ready to go since the end of the last series. So they say they feel up to the challenge here in the next round. As for the rest of the team, they're just trying to stay sharp, fit, and it's like a little family, these guys.
Yeah, Teuvo Teravainen back out on the ice, had a broken hand 2 weeks ago. I broke my toe, and I can barely walk, and he broke his hand and is ready to play hockey.
You think you could play if they needed you?
No, well, yes.
Maybe.
I could, absolutely.
Thanks for being with us tonight.
See you again at 10 and 11. Have a great night.
Keep watching WRAL News over the Air Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.